About 7.5?
Yes.
Okay. So everyone will have 7.5 minutes to speak. Jim, come on up.
Guys down here, is that fine?
Yeah, and before you start, I just want to remind the board, the public is here to speak to us. We're here to listen. We're not here to respond in any way. Anissa Alexandra.
Jim Sheridan. You might consider also bringing the prison show into the DACA field because there's a private lockup in Conroe. I'm sure they could interview someone or have some insight to that or know someone has insight to that. I just want to tell you that I've seen an interesting article from Penn. Is anyone familiar with Penn Magazine? About the KPFT, Pacifica financing, how they're raising funds to cover the mortgage, I guess, and also virtues of loans versus bankruptcy. So if anyone can fund on the pen, can't remember what they're affiliated with, you can email me and I'll send you a copy. My email address is jmosheridan@yahoo.com. Unless there's a general Dropbox even I can send to.
What's the name of the publication?
The pen.
D-P-E-N.
P-P-E-N. And not Texas Penn, you're right. Yeah. It's quite interesting. I can't remember, I saw it last weekend, I can't remember how long I've had it in my inbox.
Can you just forward it to the...
We can't go back and forth.
I'm sorry. Can I forward it to, who can I forward it to?
LSP.
The LP, you want to LSP.
Come talk to me after.
Thank you.
You can do that. I just don't want us to get in the habit of grilling people. Okay. Just trying to protect our public from ourselves. Okay, Nancy.
Last year, we were supposed to start the programming committee. Already a year went. So please, let's start the programming committee. And what's holding it up is the election of staff members. Well, why don't you just go ahead and start it, and then when the staff get their election together and approve of these, there's only, what, two or three people of staff that volunteered. So let the staff vote yes or no. But let's not just wait and wait another year. We need to have the public come together and discuss about the programming. This is our main product. We've got to spiff it up. Nobody's going to pay money for stale bread. We have to spiff it up and improve it. So please start the programming committee. And membership. We've got to do something about membership. We need to appeal to everybody, even on the air, to our listeners. Hi, Susie. Okay. We ought to make a goal, okay? 6,000? How much are you going to make this year? Make a goal and then get our listeners who want to get into a flyer brigade or these events. These events are really... we need people, soldiers. And the MLK was nice. We had 1,000 flyers, very nicely done by PK. They all went out. We had enough people to pass out. Women's March, well, I went with a whole bunch of posters, and I got somebody videoed me and put me on YouTube. So I talked about KPFT and this one, HR 676. But we need more. A lot of people I met never heard of us, and two of them were really interested. So, I mean, there are people out there that are interested in, you know, listener-sponsored radio. We just got to get the listeners involved. We can't just wait on the outreach committee or the board to do something. We need to do some PSAs and get the people, the listeners, involved. We need to get the membership up and the programming. That's all I have to say.
Alana?
This morning, I bicycled from Andrews Homes to 5th Ward to attend a town hall meeting that was chaired by Sheila Jackson Lee honoring Congressman John Lewis, who's been with the Congress about 40 years. He's worked with Dr. Martin Luther King, etc. The topic for discussion, although we touched on DACA, we touched on mass incarceration, but the main thrust of discussion with this town hall meeting, there are about 1,000 people there at this church near Gregg and Lyons Avenue, was the need for reform in the justice system. For example, a misdemeanor charge against somebody, they can't come up with a $500 bond, they're in jail for 2 months waiting for their trial, where somebody else commits a felony, but they got the money, so they're out and gone to California or something, you know. So they just say there's tremendous misjustice in our court system regarding bonds. So that's, I have a, if anyone is doing anything about that with KPFT, this town hall meeting, I have a recording of the entire meeting, about 1 hour and 48 minutes worth, and a few pictures. So I have that on my iPhone. So I just wanted to volunteer that if anybody was going to be covering that, if that's a resource available to you. Thank you.
Thank you. Carolina?
Hi, everyone. I am very happy to be here. Thank you for your time. I'm Carolina Ramirez with United We Dream. I came here before, but I would like to share an update that may be helpful in highlighting the importance of why we need to have increased attention on the plight of undocumented youth like myself and the DREAM Act that would help protect more than 2.1 million undocumented folks. I would remind folks that Texas actually has 124,000 undocumented youth that are benefiting from DACA, and 65,000 DACA beneficiaries in Harris County. We're actually even seeing that it could be an even more, a bigger number. I want to bring up that this Monday actually was a very key day. Congress once again kicked the can of solving a permanent solution for undocumented folks and said that they would come to a decision February 8th. This is why this moment is so crucial, because essentially February 8th is when we have been promised that our lives and the questions that we have will be resolved. But we've been promised before. And while her support from some progressives have been strong, we see the need to highlight this urgency even more and for more Houstonians to take action, because the reality is that there are a lot of myths, starting with the fact that this is not an urgent matter. So I ask that KPFT put increased attention by devoting a full day of programming to this complex and pressing matter that affects more than 65,000 Houstonians and our families. This administration has been playing games with our lives, my life. And not only that, immigration and immigrants have been affected by private prisons. Corporations are making money off of us by putting us in these private detention centers. Political parties are using us as bargaining chips. Educators have come to us in droves, asking United We Dream to train and better inform the families, the teachers, and the school districts, because people do not have enough information. So, in the light of all of these challenges and opportunities, undocumented youth like myself have decided to use our stories as one of the strongest tools we have. So again, we ask that our allies be courageous now and have our back, because our stories are worth the time. Thank you.
It's 8:11, so we have 19 more minutes. I have someone else who'd like to speak. Is there anyone else who'd like to go on the list for public comment? Okay, so I'll let her speak, and then we'll divide up the time if we'd like. The time limit we've been doing is 7 minutes and 30 seconds. Penny, are you?
Yes.
Okay.
Hi, everyone. My name is Penny Shaw, and I was invited here by Ted, and I thank you for having me and having me on the air. I'm coming here to talk today about the upcoming political race, specifically the County Commissioner's Court. A lot of people don't know what the County Commissioner's Court does or what they're in charge of. The County Commissioner Court is a lot like City Council, except it's countywide, and there are five people on that bench. There are five men on that bench, I should say, four Republicans and one Democrat. And I'm running for that position. I'm a native Texan, and I believe that we need to change the County Commissioner Court because it doesn't reflect the community values in a large part. I believe that they're very vendor-driven instead of being very community-driven, which is the reason that they're formed. They're supposed to be serving the community. I'll give you a very clear example of that. Hurricane Harvey exposed that because they didn't have the foresight or the level of care to create a comprehensive flood plan, even though we've been flooding since we were created in the 1800s or whenever that was, whenever the Vince brothers came here and decided that this is the city they were going to develop. It was flooding then and it's flooding now. So they didn't have the level of concern or the foresight to create a plan with the resources that we pay into our county tax fund to mitigate the burden that fell on our community. And I even got an email today that said, hey, we need volunteers. We're ripping out sheetrock in hurricane damaged homes. And this is 5 months later. But yet they will approve, and they did approve, $5 million in our tax dollars to spend to battle the bail reform. We had a very competent judge here in Houston that sits on the appellate level that wrote a comprehensive decision about it and deciding that it was unconstitutional, that it needed to be looked at. And even though our law enforcement elected officials and our judicial and our criminal justice elected officials and the experts in those industries say that there's a problem with bail reform and there's a problem with the jail system, they were willing to spend $5 million to go and fight that, to appeal that decision. So these are things that the community generally doesn't know. The Commissioner's Court operates mostly behind closed doors. We don't have a lot of access to them. And therefore, if you don't know what someone's doing, you can't really hold them accountable because we're not even aware of what their mandate is. And by the way, they have mandatory dictates from the local government code, state legislature, and lots of other bodies of laws. And they have a lot of discretionary power. And they can use that discretionary power to serve the community in greater ways. They have reach into healthcare. They have reach into education. They have reach into the economy. They have reach into the criminal justice system, into lots of other places. But that's just to show you a few, to illustrate a few for you. There are no women on the Commissioner's Court, and we are more than 50% population in this county alone, also nationwide, yet there's no woman serving on Commissioner Court. There's no voice for working women, for business women, for women, you know, business owners, for moms, or any of that. These decisions are being made by archaic thinking kind of people. So I'm running for that position. We have a lot of good women running for, and a lot of good men too, running for positions in this upcoming election, which starts in less than 30 days. February 20th is early voting. And I think that it's time that we pay attention to our commissioner's court and that we cast our vote, cast our voice to change it. Our vote is the most powerful thing that we have, and people died for us to have that right. And they fought hard for that. So I would encourage everyone to look a little closer at your county commissioner court that's supposed to be there to serve you and serve your interests and protect you and all of that. And consider me as your candidate of choice on February 20th. My name is Penny Shaw, and I'm running to clean up Harris County Commissioner Court. Thank you.
It's 8:16. We have 14 more minutes.
Can I ask you a question? Can you clarify what position you're running for exactly? Is that L. Franco Lee's position who died?
L. Franco Lee's position was taken up, and someone else is running for that position. I'm running for position four, precinct four.
Four, okay.
Yes, and that currently is held by a man named Cagle.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. It is 8:16. We have 14 more minutes. Is there anyone from the public who would like more time? I'm just giving them time to think about it. Okay. Then we move on. So let me just catch us up. We're debating Alexander's Dreamer's motion. We've had two speakers for and two against. Since there are two motions now, we agreed to have six for, six against. So we have several speakers left. Is there a speaker for Adriana?
For what?
Either motion. Adriana.
Okay. This is a perfect example of what good radio would be. Obviously, I don't know anything about programming, but that's how you bring people. When real issues, you need to prepare. You need to show the community that we support the community. We cannot keep asking for money, and the community support us, and we don't support the issues that the community is facing. This is what radio. We need, this is so urgent. This is at the national level. You know, every day I'm receiving calls from other states asking me to explain the situation because Houston is the center of this problem. That is the reality. If we don't show the way, when we will do it? I agree, the LSD have nothing to do with programming. It's not up to us. It's up to us. Then judge the people that run the station, right? Evaluate them when they don't do their jobs. But sometimes I think that it's a good idea to show to them that the community need the radio there. That's, if we are not there for that, what are we here for? I mean, to just, that doesn't make any sense. This is the problem. We should vote for this, and we should be very clear that this is what we want.
Thank you. Is there a speaker against? Ted?
I'm sorry. What are we speaking against. For and against?
The two motions presented by Alexandra.
Well, I want to speak for.
Okay. Is there a speaker against? Adrian?
I want to just speak against the second version. So I spoke for the first version, but I want to speak against the second version. Only because significant is meaningless. It does it. What is it going to be in Larry Winter's mind, the word significant? Is it going to be an hour? Minutes? This has no teeth. It's insignificant. We leave it there.
Is there a speaker for? Bill?
Okay, well, I'm speaking for the substitute. It's a really good idea, but you know, say, if you have saying it has to be on a Saturday for February 2nd, that means this Saturday, 3 days from now. It means you have tomorrow and Friday to promote it, and probably only Friday because you have to decide which shows are going to be preempted and you have to line up guests and all that stuff. So if you want to have a good show, you got to give a little bit more time to get it organized. And also, I think you probably get more listeners if you spread it out on more than one day. If you have it on just Saturday, you're only going to get Saturday listeners. And some people listen to evenings and other times. You might be better off having an hour or two on one day and, you know, a little bit more on another day, another time. And also, you need time to promote it, because if you want, you don't want just the regular listeners. You want to have time to explore on social media, and maybe we can get an email blast out to our membership and things like that. So as they tune in on these days and times to hear this special programming, because, you know, it gives you a chance of getting more people than would normally tune in at that time. So I support the substitute.
Is there a speaker against?
The substitute?
Against either one. Jerry?
Yeah, I'd like to speak out against just, you know, telling them to do it sometime in the future. I think that we need to catch their attention on this, an important issue like this. And so I don't think we should be concerned about whether it hurts the feelings of some of the people over there that normally program or don't program or Larry Winters. I mean, I think that we need to show them that they need to do some changes. And it's not good enough to just, have talk here at the meetings about diversity. It's a perfect example of something that's extremely diverse. So I would think we should do what seems to be somewhat aggressive, perhaps, to some of the people that are over there at the station. But I would say we should do it anyway. Mm-hmm. In addition to that, I would say, I think what Bill is saying about the timing of it, I think that we should have we should have amended to that it should be 5 days in a row during drive time. I think that would be more effective. If it's an hour or two during drive time than 1 8-hour block.
It's an amendment.
Yeah, I'd make an amendment that it'd be done during drive time when we know more people listen.
Is there a second?
I second that.
Is there an objection? Is this to, which motion is this to?
I would object to the second one because I think we need to.
No, which one are you amending? Both of them. Is there an objection to that amendment?
Can we take them one by one? Point of information.
So what we're doing right now is we're debating both of these motions. They've already been amended once, and now Jerry's suggesting another amendment to both of them. So we're talking about the amendment right now. Jerry, would you like to speak for your amendment?
Yes, I'd like to say that the point of this is not just to do it. The point is to have as many people as possible listening to it. We all know that more people listen to the radio, KPFT during drive times. And rather than just the people who happen to be listening on Saturday, political people obviously, for the most part, do not listen to KPFT during Saturdays because they never have any political programs whatsoever. So I think that the best time to do it would be in the drive time, in the morning or in the afternoon, where the old Democracy Now slots, then you get more people to actually listen to this. Plus, those are people that traditionally, up until recently, have been listening to KPFT for talk and political shows during those hours, which have only recently been replaced by music.
Okay.
And we can win back some of those listeners.
Is there a speaker against this amendment? The amendment being that this would happen during drive time. Is there a speaker against? I'm looking for new speakers. Rick.
Okay.
You're speaking against his amendment.
Well, yeah. The only thing is that, people said the LSB can't direct programming on KPFT, but I do think we should pass an amendment saying that the LSB thinks that KPFT programming should focus on the Dreamers and getting a clean Dream Act. And I think we'll be getting a little bit too into the weeds with this, but
you just presented another amendment. So you're going to produce
the same as Adriana's. Recommend.
You cannot keep amendment till you drop something.
You're supposed to be amendment.
Are you presenting another amendment?
No.
Oh, okay. Okay. Sorry. My heart just started again. Okay.
I just don't think that we have the wherewithal to order the IGN to do anything.
Okay, we're
a strong suggestion.
Right now, we're just talking about the drive time amendment. Are we okay moving to a vote on just this amendment?
No.
Okay. Is there another speaker for the drive time amendment?
Well, I would like to say that I think I agree with the drive time. But I would like a deeper commitment from the staff. I would like drive time and a period Monday, a different one Tuesday, a different one Thursday, you know. And I don't know whether that's an amendment to that or whether it's just a new...
I
want to
speak for the amendment.
Lord.
You decide. Is that an amendment?
I don't want to gainsay his... I don't want to.
So you're saying?
I'm just saying that I would like to
see whether or not
somebody has a good way of working it in.
I understand.
Without defeating that.
Madam Chair, we have a problem here. We cannot have so many motions and amendments.
Yeah.
You have an original, if I'm correct, we have an original motion from Alexander. We have a substitute from Joseph, right? Then an amendment to that one. Then a second amendment from Jerry, and that's it. I mean, if we accept the substitute, that's the problem.
Okay.
We need to vote in the substitute.
Okay, so here's where, let me summarize where we are and where what I think we should do.
Okay.
So we have two motions. We have Jerry's amendment about drive time. I think we should just vote on the drive time amendment and then continue. Yes. We get two more speakers for and against the larger motions, and then we'll vote between those, and then we'll approve or disapprove the one that we've chosen between the two.
The point of information on Jerry's amendment.
Don't speak for or against it.
Nope.
Okay.
I will not. Point of information on Jerry's amendment. So, Jerry, are you saying that on the if we accept the amendment, that the first one, the first version, will be 8 hours, which is 8 hours during drive time, and the second one will be like not 8 hours consecutive, but 8 hours total during drive time?
That's my understanding. That's what I meant to say. 8 hours.
During drive time.
For a total of 8 hours during drive time.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
If I can motivate it a little bit more, I would
You can't. Kent, we're going to vote. All those in favor of the drive time amendment? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. All those opposed? 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, so the amendment passes. So now we're adding to both of these that they're happening during drive time. Now we're going back to the debate of these motions. I need a speaker for either one. I'm looking.
Can I call the question? Thank you.
Call the question. Do I have to have a second? Yes. Is there a second?
Second.
Is there an objection? Okay, so then I'm just going to continue. All those in favor of stopping debate? Okay, we're going to keep going then. I need a speaker for PK.
I just want to say how proud I am of you, and that in some ways I think this is a young people kind of thing, with us as elders supporting you, because you all have a voice and you have the way of getting to the audience that we want, that would be actually good for KPFT, which is why I'm kind of agreeing with Jerry in the drive time. I think Saturday is a little bit too soon, and then I can't help because I won't be here, but this gives us a little bit more time working with the programmers who know how to do this, along with the dreamers who are very efficient at getting this word out.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that we can serve as an example for the other stations as well, because dreamers aren't just here in Texas. Dreamers are everywhere. So I would like us to really push to support this and to help get the word out and to talk programs into doing it, but to give that recommendation to the interim general manager to let's get this ball rolling.
Request for information. What data? We had originally a date of the second of February with this new motion. I don't hear a date, and I am wondering if we can consult with Carolina Ramirez to see what date works for them to get the full programming on before a decision in Washington.
So you're amending the date.
I am asking, I'm not amending anything. I have a request for information. What date are we talking about as the ultimate deadline? We previously had February 2nd. I'm wondering what date Jerry...
It hasn't changed.
Well, you can't fit 8 hours before February
2nd. I'm saying no one has changed the date. So if Ted wants to amend the date, amend the date.
Well, I would like to know what Carolina and Jerry have in mind.
Then I need an amendment. If someone wants to amend the date, I need an amendment.
Point of order. The first motion has a date. The second motion doesn't. I'm concerned if I can...
No, we're not. I'm calling on people for and against. So who wants to speak against the motion?
I would like to amend the motion to the 5th.
Is there a second to that motion?
I second that.
Is there an objection? Okay, so
I'm sorry, I have a problem. Somebody said...
You're objecting to the 5th.
No, somebody said today is the 24th. Yeah. By February 2nd is more than a week.
Okay. Do you object to changing it to the 5th?
But there's only one Saturday in there.
Adriana, do you object to changing it to the 5th? Okay. I'm looking for speakers against either motion. Joseph.
I think what we're in the doing, it's like you're fine-tuning that little piece about the drive time or something. We're still caught between the problem of the LSB can't tell the station what to do, and yet we want to try to engage a sense of urgency in the station. Therefore, I would suggest that we amend the resolution about drive time to simply say that within, let's say, 3 to 5 days from now, that we recommend the IGM to start putting this kind of material on the air. That way we leave the IGM and the staff at the station the flexibility to implement it as they wish, without us trying to get in the details that we can't predict anyway. It's up to them. That's what I'm suggesting. And if nobody wants to go there, just don't second it.
Can you clarify your amendment?
All I'm saying is that, fine, let's put a timeline that within, we're asked the GM within
four days, five days. Joseph, can you tell us what words you're going to add to the motion? Mm-hmm.
Basically, right where we said to GM, or Adriana added to GM,
yes.
And that this would be able to, within 5 days.
No, but if it's 5 days.
No, is there a second to this amendment?
I seconded it all.
Is there an objection to this amendment?
But 5 days is almost.
Are you objecting, Adriana?
Well, I'm okay with what number. I'm just taking the time.
Can you speak towards your amendment?
Okay, the idea of the reason I'm for this is because we can't tell the station management or programmers what to do. Therefore, I'm just trying to pick a time frame to allow the management to give a few days for them to start trying to get this out on the air and whatever way they can manage it, because I can't tell them what to do. I don't care whether it's actually 5 days or not. I pulled that out of the air. Whatever day anyone's happy with is good with me. The sooner the better. I mean, 3 would probably be better than 5, but I would say 5 gives them 5 business days to address it. I don't want to rush it too much for the manager. So that's my argument for it.
Once again, we're speaking to this amendment only. Is there a speaker against? Adriana.
Yes. If we said 5 business days, are there 5 business days that one will work? Yeah, you say like that, but that's what we are doing. We are doing something that is new. What I think that we should do is give 2 days and Friday for somebody to talk to the manager. And then he will have a week or 7 days, 7 or 8 days to organize that. If we put 5 business days, that's it.
No, no, no.
We are out of the problem.
That's not what I said. I'm asking that because we're going to deliver this motion immediately. I'm asking for management within 5 days to start implementing this, or putting things on the air.
Point of information.
Yep. That's what I'm saying.
So, yes.
Does anybody know? I mean, a lot. Let's face it. On 8 to 9 in the morning, for instance, and even in the afternoon, but especially 8 to 9 in the morning, they're just running canned programs, basically that are recorded from somewhere else. It's matching like Jimmy Dore's show. Which
what is your point of information?
My point of information is: does it really that big of a deal for the programmer if he's going to play a canned program at? From 8 to 9 o'clock in the morning, this Thursday, is it, or let's say Monday, is it really that big of a deal for them to plug in another different program for an hour?
Yeah,
it's not that hard.
Okay, we're off the rails. I need someone to speak.
Can somebody answer a question?
Can someone answer that question in a minute?
Yes. The programmer cannot make that decision. It's up to normally it's the program director, but in this case it's the general manager.
Right.
Programmers cannot make those decisions by itself.
I need to clarify where we are again. We're discussing Joseph's amendment to make it to the GM within 5 business days, a response within 5 business days, and I need a speaker for this amendment. Can we go to a vote on this amendment?
Can I clarify real quick? The way you read it, what I said was we're asking the GM to start putting things on the air within 5 business days, not for us to get it to him within 5 days.
So you need to tell me the words that you're going to add.
So let's ask
that the LSB recommends to the GM, IGM.
That we begin broadcasting some of this by January 29th.
So change
that's
in program.
Being done.
Let me finish. Change in programming within 5 business days.
No. No.
Say something different.
To enact a plan for the 8 hours, Joseph?
No, Joseph. You need to give me the words you're using. You're not reading the motion.
Yeah, I'm trying to. Anyone who can help with this would be fine. I'll just say to the GM to implement within 5 days.
So where does this...
To implement by January 29th.
29th.
Is that way it's fixed?
What?
Yes.
This.
So at the end of...
The report says February 28th
on
or before February.
Point of information for clarification.
This is in the second version what I'm talking about.
Oh, but yeah.
And where the previous amendment said to IGM that, and this simply add by January 29th.
Yeah. Okay. What's your...
Well, I just want to share the information that that's already planned and it's happening. Why are we even... It's already planned.
Okay. So
they're going to be on Politics Done Right. They're going
to
be on...
Okay, community. I need to stop you.
I can get them on Saturday on Lone Star Jukebox. That can happen.
Okay, Rhonda. We're going to have more speakers for and against. We're in the middle of this process. We need to vote on Joseph's amendment on whether we're going to add that date. All those in favor of Joseph's amendment?
It's only for the second one?
Only for the second one.
Yeah. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Okay, it passes. So Joseph's amendment passes for the second motion. Now we're back to the larger debate. I need a speaker for one of the motions.
So how about Jerry's motion?
This is...
We are passed already.
The pass.
I'm so sorry.
I think we're talked out on this. Why don't we just go to a vote?
Is there a second?
Second.
Is there an objection? All right, we're going to go to a vote. So here's what I propose is we're going to vote version one or version two, and then we're going to vote to approve or not approve it, whichever version we choose.
When we are voting is... All of them with the three amendments that are already approved.
Yes, they've
right?
all passed.
The three of them.
Yes. Okay.
We did vote on juries.
Yes, we did.
Yes.
It passed.
Yes.
Okay. Everybody voting for version one, raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Everyone voting for version two? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Start again.
Can we do it again?
Everyone voting for version one, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. All those voting for version two.
Oh, no, wait. I'm voting for two.
Okay, I'm going to make that 10. Is that okay with everyone? All those voting for version 2. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Okay, version 1 it is. Now we're going to vote to approve or not approve this motion. All those voting in favor of this motion.
Any objection?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. It passes. So version one passes with those amendments. Ted, did you do some miracle work and follow all those amendments for version one? Okay. We're moving on to the diversity motion presented by Adrian. Can you read your motion?
Yes. But again, I want to give credit to my role. Okay. In late 2000, KPFT was issued a court order to diversify its programming to better represent the diverse makeup of the city of Houston and listenership area. During Dr. Kamau's tenure as IGM, process was initiated to address the court order's mandate. Under the new IGM, programming has taken a turn for the worse, becoming less diverse rather than more. Currently, programming disproportionately favors white audiences, with 65% of the programs geared toward European American listeners. I move that the programming and anti-racism and diversity committees be tasked to prioritize this issue and work together to provide recommendations with the goal of bringing diversity back to the station as quickly as possible.
Is there a second?
Second.
Is there an objection?
Well, point of information, I was around KPFT in the year 2000, I don't remember the court order.
There was a court.
You don't remember what?
I don't remember the court order.
I was with to so save KPFT.
Is this an objection to the motion?
Well, no, no.
Based on an error.
No.
Okay.
She's probably referring to Melissa Lawson.
Are there any objections to this motion?
Can we...
Are there any objections?
Can we modify getting off the air the court order?
Yes.
Is there a second to that amendment?
I second.
Is there an objection to that amendment? Okay, so the amendment passed.
There were court orders in the year 2000 for diversity, but I did not find written specifically for KPFT. But they, FCC did pass orders overall.
So do you object to the amendment?
I'm just saying it probably is, but if you're objecting because it wasn't specific, then that's what you need to say.
So Susie, do you object to the amendment to take it out?
We can take it out, but I'm just saying that it does. Okay. If I can specifically find it, I will.
So the amendment passes to take it out. And is there an objection to the motion? So the motion passes, right? That's how that works?
Yeah, we're talking about the last paragraph being the motion, right?
Yes.
Request for information?
Yes.
I want to know if the Anti-Racism and Diversity Committee... You know, I'm really wanting to motivate the motion or discuss it for just a second. This really isn't a request for information. I don't want.
Are you objecting?
I just want to say something for 1 minute about the motion, okay?
But I think the motion's passing.
That's still.
You'll give me 1 minute. I can explain why I want to say
no.
something.
No, are you objecting, Ted?
Talk too much, Ted.
No, stay in order, everyone. Are you objecting to it?
Then
we're moving on. The motion has passed. Yes.
Please call the member to order. We need to respect each other. We cannot say you talk too much.
Thank you.
Please.
Thank you. It's a warning, everyone. Stay in order.
Though, before we move on. So it's just going to take out the court order part, right?
Yes.
So instead of that, we're just going to say, in order to diversify its programming to better represent, we're going to start there.
Yes.
Okay, all right.
Okay, the motion passes. We're moving on to what we titled the IGM motion presented by Adrian. Adrian, can you present your motion?
Okay. Whereas Article 7, Section 2 of the Pacifica Foundation bylaw states that the station's general manager shall serve as a non-voting member of the station's LSB. And whereas it is the IGM's duty as a non-voting member of the station's LSB to attend LSB meetings as an ex officio member, and whereas Article 7, Section 3 of the Pacifica Foundation bylaw states that it is the LSB's responsibility to prepare an annual written evaluation of the station's general manager, and whereas Mr. Winters was hired on July of 2017 and has yet to attend one LSB meeting, be it hereby resolved that Mr. Winters be directed to ensure his presence at each future LSB meeting while serving as KPFT's IGM, as it is part of his duties and responsibilities to do so.
Is there a second? Is there an objection?
I object.
Okay. So if the process is still okay, we'll do three speakers for, three against, and if you want to extend debate, someone can move. Does someone object to that process for this motion? Okay. Can we mark that Susie and Rita are here too, just to make sure that's on there? Does anyone object to the 3-3 and vote to extend debate for this motion?
Alexandra Hunter also arrived after the roll call, along with Reed Washington and the other person.
Okay, so that's what we'll do. Adrian, you may start and speak for your motion.
2 minutes? How much? 1 minute?
I've been doing one. Is that okay?
That's fine. So without him being in these meetings, we can't ask him questions. We can't really, you know, sometimes he sends a surrogate, but then again, if you have a question for the surrogate, it really doesn't go to Larry Winters. So without being able to ask him questions, we can't properly evaluate him, and evaluating him is part of our mandate. So if he doesn't fulfill his mandate, we can't fulfill ours. So it's a chain reaction. We need him to show up so that we can do our job as it relates to his evaluation.
And so I don't think it's too much to ask. It's part of his duties and responsibilities to do so. We've yet to see his face one time at one of these meetings. And it's pretty shameful, to be honest with you, is my opinion.
Is there a speaker against Brenda?
I'd like to remind everybody that Larry Winters is unpaid. He's a volunteer, and he has a he's a therapist. He has group meetings on Wednesday evenings. He has said, told me that if they could arrange to do the LSV meetings on a night other than Wednesdays, he would be happy to attend. And when you're talking about his responsibilities and showing up, it's not that Larry doesn't want to be here. Well, he probably doesn't want to be here, but he can't be here. He can't be here on Wednesday nights. So perhaps someone should make a motion to move the meetings, consult with Larry what nights he's available if his presence is so important. I would encourage everybody to write to Larry, and if Larry doesn't write back to you, which you may find that to happen, write him again. And then if he doesn't,
knock on the door.
Exactly. Or tattle on him to Rhonda or Wendy, and we'll see to it that he doesn't.
That's time. I need a speaker four.
Just to note the role, we're doing Mark for the role.
Thank you. I need a speaker four. Ted?
Not only is Larry Winters an unpaid employee of KPFT, but he's not doing his job. I made multiple phone calls to him today and yesterday and in previous days to engage him and to ask him one question, which was, you know, when can we reschedule our meetings to accommodate your schedule? He did return one of my phone calls, and I did not get it. I guess I had my phone turned down for some reason. But I did respond, and he's just not there. So I want y'all to know we should definitely pass this motion, but we really don't have a general manager at KPFT, paid or unpaid.
Thank you. Is there a speaker against?
You know, I think it's easy just to look for things to complain about, and yeah, theoretically he's supposed to be at our meetings, but I can't think of one meeting since he has become IGM where we actually got to the GM report. We spend all our time on all this other stuff. We're doing a lot better this meeting than the last meeting, but we wouldn't if we didn't have a GM report last meeting anyway. And so what's the point? And, you know, it's an hour drive for him each way to come back and forth here. If he sits through 3 hours, so if he's coming at 5 hours, he could be doing something actually that helps the station during that time, even if he moved it to a different day. So I think, kind of like Rhonda was saying, we have more important things to worry about. We should be, you know, making sure he runs the station and not just attend meetings, because attending the LSV meetings is kind of not the same thing as running the station, and that's what we need to be concentrating on.
There's speaker for the motion.
Alexandra. Well, one of the things, I guess, that kind of goes along with the reason that I had to make, part of the reason that I had to make my motion, and I talked to somebody about this today, was because I felt like there was a person in the audience that made an awesome point, right? But they came to us because they don't know who to talk to, right? And then so we pass off the information to the IGM. So of course, you know, I emailed Larry and got no response. And then of course, but what I'm trying to say is maybe if he were here and then he gets a resolution about, you know, we're like, oh, one of the big things is like we're making this recommendation, if we, you know, but you know, it's up in the air if he'll take it. But maybe if he was here and he got to listen to, you know, her story and got to listen to what she had to say, that he would be moved and he'd be like, yeah, we should help her, help people like her. So, you know what I'm saying? So maybe it would be good if he was here.
Thank you. Is there a speaker against? Steph?
Yeah, I'm not against the motion entirely, but I do want to rephrase and address the attitude that the board projects. This is a man who is serving without pay, a tough job, and he's doing it.
and the station is running, and the reports are getting in, and the stuff that needs to be done is done. And if we want him to show up here, I suggest we cordially invite him, that he, what he has to add would be appreciated. Not get your butt here because you're big.
Point of information.
Our attitude is everything. And I think we need to take a look at how we're dealing with people who are looking at us, working for us for free.
It seems like there are more speakers on this. Should we extend debate?
Can I call the question?
Right. Point of information.
There's a second. Is there objection to voting? Yes. Is there objection to moving to a vote?
Yes.
Then say, I object. Everyone? Okay, all those in favor of ending debate. All those in favor of moving to a vote and ending debate. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. All those in favor of continuing debate. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Okay, we'll continue debate.
For how long?
Point of information.
I guess, can we just do 3 and 3 again?
3 and 3.
Okay.
Man.
Adrian.
This is a question for you, Casey, as our chair. Have you invited Mr. Winters to these meetings?
Yes, I sent an email to everyone with my invitation, and I think it was cordial.
Point of order.
I did my best.
Point of order.
Yes.
Madam Chair, according to our bylaws, which was aptly referred to in these documents, there is no request to be made. It is the responsibility articulated in our bylaws.
It sounds like you're arguing for the motion. I'm going to stop
you
there.
Is
there a speaker for the motion?
Sure,
yeah. Dwayne, would you like to take the speaker for? Okay, PK. PK.
I claim it. I just wanted to say that this is one of the problems of getting people who don't get paid to work for us. You get what you pay for, is what the bottom line is. And it is not about doing anything other than evaluating the current IGM who came to us without our approval or our input. And we can't get in touch with him most times, and we aren't responded to most times. And that's the problem with hiring people for free. You need to pay people so that they can respond to what they've been hired for. If he can't come to one of these meetings because he is not being paid, he is not our general manager, and I just think we should look at it that way.
Is there a speaker against? Jerry?
I don't exactly call this a speaker against, but why don't we have the guys call in for 15, 20 minutes? I mean, that's all that basically the GMs have done and shown up, at least in my couple of years on the board, is they give a little report and take a question or two. Maybe you could do that by phone or something. At least, you know, I don't know.
Is there
make that as a suggestion or an amendment to the
Is this an amendment, Jerry?
Yes, I'll make it as an amendment.
Is there a second to the amendment? What exactly is your amendment?
It's that the interim manager
look at the motion,
call in,
and tell us where you'd like to add words.
Well, actually, give it as a question. Okay, after the part, it goes, where is Article Section 7?
Please be quiet, everyone, so you can hear the amendment.
Article 7, Section 3, specific bylaw states that it is LSP's responsibility to prepare, at the end, last sentence, be it thereby resolved that Mr. Winters be directed to ensure his presence either in personally or in a phone call, lasting 15 minutes at each future LSP member while serving as KPFT's IGM.
Is there
point
a second
order
to this amendment?
Point
second.
Of order.
Yes.
This motion is out of order because it is an attempt to revise the bylaws, which already state that the general manager is required to attend these meetings. I request that the chair rule that this motion be ruled out of order.
Can you cite it for us so we can all look it up in the red folders?
Amendment or a motion? A through M.
It's an amendment.
time too?
No, we're waiting. We're going to look at this bylaw. Everyone, you have your bylaws in front of you in the red folder.
No, it's
both. I made them. It's both. They're double-sided.
It says it in the motion.
Okay, what is it?
Article 7, Section 2.
Article 7, Section 2.
And Article 7, Section 3.
How about now?
So Article 7, Section 2. The station's general manager shall serve as a non-voting member of the station's LSV.
Mm-hmm.
Article 7, Section 3.
Says that we prepare the written evaluation.
That's not related to this.
Mm-hmm. We're looking for the ex officio. Page 23.
I don't see anything that says that clarifies. It just says the station's general manager shall serve as a non-voting member of the station's LLB. So this doesn't, to me, give any window of not being here.
Madam Chair.
So to me, I do rule it out of order because we don't have any non-voting members who are allowed to join by phone. That's not what membership implies
on this board.
So when people are not able to come here, we don't allow board members to call in, so we can't allow non-voting board members to call in either. So I'm going to rule the amendment out of order. We're going back to the debate of the larger motion. I need a speaker for
me.
Adriana.
We can see at this room. Nobody in this room, starting with the public and all of us, we are all volunteers. We don't receive money. We spend, amount of hours, volunteer for Pacifica. We know that everybody's busy. I drive an hour back and forth. A lot of us do that, you know. We miss family, a bunch of things. I agree that people have a lot of work to do, but we need our LSV, according to our bylaw, we need our general manager. If you don't have the time, don't volunteer, don't do it. We have a general manager, an interim general manager was coming to all the meetings and was doing everything that needed to be done. We have, Bob and Patrick and, you know, a lot of people helping during this emergency at the station. Please don't tell me that somebody have other. If you have other job, I understand it, but you know what? I'm sorry. We need an interim general manager that can manage.
Thank you. Is there a speaker against the motion? Bill.
Hey, well, partly your spot, Adriana. Yeah, we're all volunteers, but how many of you are up at the station every day volunteering? Okay, so. Anyway, but I have an amendment. I move that we
stay in order.
We change order.
Yes.
You can't preface an amendment with a statement and then make the motion or amendment.
He's speaking against the motion. Are you making an amendment?
I amend this that we change our LSB meeting for the next meeting to the second Saturday of the month at 3 p.m.
That sounds like a different motion.
Well, it will solve the problem because he has a show from 12 to
3.
Well, can I explain?
You can speak against the motion. I'll let you have your time, but that's not an amendment.
Point of order. It's
again the standing
rule.
Point of order, Madam
Chair. He's going to finish speaking against the motion.
And if we've already talked about, shifting our meeting to accommodate him, this would also make it easier. A lot of people from public comment say they wish we meet on Saturdays because it's hard for them to come in the evening, and they have work obligations or family and stuff like that, and Saturdays are better for them. So I think we should try it for at least 1 month and see how that works.
So this is a substitution motion.
Substitute. Let
me, so can it happen in the middle when there's a motion on the floor?
Yes.
It can happen in the middle when there's a motion on the floor. However, he gets up and he was speaking as well as he gets the motion. So what he has to do is go to the table over and then he should be able to move on.
Okay, so I finished debate and then we come back to that if we want. Okay. I need another speaker for the motion. Susie.
I think he needs to be here at least once a month. And maybe we could change the time. But when you do volunteer work, you know you have a responsibility. Volunteer work. I have as many volunteer hours out there as I do work hours in my lifetime. And when I signed up to do volunteer at the DePelton or wherever I was, I knew that I had a responsibility, whether whatever was happening, I had volunteered and my time was free. I was not going to get paid. But I knew that that was a responsibility, just like my paying responsibility to my job. So he needs to be there. And yes, maybe we can change one day so that he can be there. Maybe we can do that. But will he be there? Because we changed. That's the question.
Is there a speaker against the motion? Okay, so now do I consider the substitute motion?
We've had the three speakers.
Yes. The substitution motion? Does the substitution motion have a second? Can you clarify what the motion is, Bill? Just say, I move.
The substitute that we change our next LSV meeting to the second Saturday of February at 3 p.m. 3:30.
At 3:30. The second Saturday of February. Is that, that's the motion?
Yes.
Is there a second?
I second it.
Is there an objection?
Yes.
Objection.
Okay, so can we just vote on it?
Yes.
Let's just vote. So all those for changing our meeting time next month, I need you to stop talking when I am so you can hear what I'm saying. All those in favor of changing our next meeting time in February to the second Saturday at 3:30. All those in favor. Yes.
That motion is totally out of order. First of all, because it's against the job description of any general manager that we have in all in KPAT. It's against our standing rules that said that to have meetings during the weekend, we need to have the approval of the LSV. That motion is totally out of order.
But that's what we're doing.
When you want me to accommodate the one, that is ridiculous.
We're getting approval of the LSV if this motion passes. That's okay. So all those in favor of moving the meeting time the next month, raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. All those opposed? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I am opposed.
Yes,
I am not a 9. Great. Okay, so that fails. Now we need to go back to voting on the original motion that Adrian presented that's in front of you. We've debated it for a very long time. All those in favor of the motion? 1, 2, 3, 4. All those in favor of the motion? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. All those opposed to the motion? 1, 2, 3, 4. The motion passes. We're moving on to the Pacifica National Board reports. Is everyone okay with our directors having 5 minutes each to speak? Any objections? If you can do it in less, do it in less. Adriana, will you get us started?
Well, I prefer people ask questions, but to say that tomorrow, the new, the 2018 PMB will be seated, and that will be the starting of, I hope, the new option for a better PMB. The PFD already authorized the hire of interim executive director. So hopefully everybody knows that. And what we need to understand, and the PMB approved a loan to start paying, it's being called a bridge loan.
So we had a bridge.
Please don't interrupt, Francis.
Sorry.
No, it's part of it. The bridge is exactly what happens when you don't need to drown. That's what we are trying to do. That's why we have bridges. What we have to do is to pay the, we have obviously, you know, that we have a judgment against the foundation, and since February of last year, nothing was done, or was, but doesn't matter. Do not blame. What we need is to pay that in a bridge loan in the meantime, that we get a better loan. But obviously that is not any solution. It's a temporary solution in the meantime that the foundation reorganized. We cannot, and that applies to us too, right? Everybody talks so nice, but they keep hiring people that they don't have money to pay. That is one of the problems. And we need to do it all over. We have the KPFA people that made some shenanigans there. We voted, the PMB make a motion. We will have, apparently we have another lawsuit coming. We still, our books are totally disarrayed. We have a CFO that apparently cannot deal with the accounting system that the foundation have. We cannot finish the audit for what we have because some stations don't have the information in the right way. And it's easy to blame people, and I think that we should stop cooking books and approving the audit needs to be done with the real books. We need to start taking action on playing politics. We need employees that do their job. The politics is, you know, like we have it here. The PMB is supposed to determine the policies and the way that the foundation will go. But the employees need to work, not make politics. You know, it's so easy to start discussing instead of doing their job. We need an accounting system that works. We need a station being held accountable. And we need everybody, every employee, pay and unpaid. Every time, do the job and being held accountable. We cannot keep living, thinking, kicking the can down the road, because that doesn't work anymore. It's easy to blame everybody, but we have even in our group, in our station, somebody that is criticizing us, and is criticizing the fire state agreement, but one of our own people here in KPFD vote in that PMB that approved that contract. You know, it's so easy to talk later on. The reality, we have this problem, we need to solve it. We have a small window of opportunity to solve, to give us the time to reorganize. But we need to work, we need to really solve the problem. You know, we cannot keep using credit card because we don't have any more plastic money. The foundation doesn't have it. And we see it here. KPFD cannot pay everything that needs to be paid. Something needs to be done. And in all the stations, somebody needs to stop playing the politics and leaving. Some stations have more employees and have, like KPFA, we discovered that they have $250,000 in debt in their taxes. And they are the one talking that they have the solution and they want to succeed or divide the foundation because they are doing that good. If they have $250,000 in taxes that they didn't pay out, they are doing good. I mean, that is part of the problem, you know, but we prefer to calm those people and make them vote with us, we let them go with all that deal.
Thank you, Andrew.
Change that.
Bill? Yes,
Jim? Well, can I ask a question? One of the things that's been floating.
Is it a question about your
Oh, yes, to Adriana and to the other candidates.
Is that okay with everyone?
Should I wait until everybody's
Yeah, maybe they'll answer it.